Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Dr. Dana Barbel, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. Thank you for joining us. We're kicking off a long holiday weekend. How are you?
We're kicking it off in style. I'm great. I hope everyone's ready for this nice three-day weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously people headed to the dog park. First question came through, and they said, and I thought this was interesting because I hadn't really given it much thought before, is it safe for dogs at the dog park to all be sharing the same tennis balls? Some people there suggest it spreads disease. Could that be true? Please tell me, doctor.
Oh, you know, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I think there, you know, anytime, and when I say this, we have to think a big picture. Well, anytime you get a big group of animals together or a big group of people together with mixed backgrounds, if one of them happens to be carrying a bacteria or a virus, maybe they're getting over a cold, or maybe they're just a carrier of a particular bug or a parasite, there's some risk. So dog parks do carry some risk. It's not specifically associated with tennis balls, though.
It's associated with the poop, right?
Yes. I was going to say, usually most of these things, the biggest concern is that we need to make sure we're picking up any waste very, very quickly, disposing of it properly, and not letting it sit in the ground and get sniffed by many animals.
Yeah, so, which they love to do.
We're going to be okay.
So, doctor, I've been seeing a lot of this pop up about we should be concerned with our dog's gut health. When I tell you I have animals that eat things that none of us would even want to get near, you know, anything from a worm to a June bug to, you know, pig poop, is that something that we're just being marketed to, or is that a concern?
Well, so here's another one where it's a little bit of both. So there's a lot of research right now being done on something called the gut biome, which is a fancy word for all the different types of bacteria that normally live in the stomach and intestines and colon of a variety of animals. And it's a really fascinating growing area of research, because we think that, you know, your gut health is very important to things like the health of your liver, the health of your pancreas, maybe even the health of your brain and your heart, too. So it's a growing area of research that we are really just starting to understand. So, yes, it's very important to keep your animal's gut healthy, to keep your own gut healthy. But I will also say that there is some unfortunate companies or supplements out there that are going a little bit taking advantage, because, you know, when we talk about probiotics, we take them by mouth and they end up in the dog's stomach. And Lisa, you said it right. I mean, dogs are eating really
nasty
really
things.
Wild stuff,
yeah.
Right? So you can imagine that a dog's stomach, first of all, is very acidic, and it's also very strong. It's very muscular. You know, when I have a dog that, for example, eats a little bit of bone, you know, not recommended, let's start there, but if it happens, and say they get a small piece, you would be shocked how good they are at digesting that. Most dogs, not all the time, but most dogs are going to be able to break that down, digest enough of it that it passes out without incident. Now, that's not true if they eat a whole bunch, or if the bones are sharp, and yes, we see some complications with that, which is why we don't recommend it. But stomachs are tough. So it means that when we put bacteria in those probiotics, there's not always a lot of good evidence that those happy bacteria in the probiotics survive that super acidic, strong environment that is the stomach. So if you're having a dog with GI problems, you know, there are some really good supplements out there and some really bad ones. Your veterinarian can help point out which ones are really worth your money.
Wonderful. This is one of Chicago's exotic pet vets. She has done it all and worked on every animal imaginable. And we're so thankful you're taking questions. We're going to talk about a few other things coming up about comorbidity and how they're tracking it. And the first plague case of the year found in a cat. The plague. Holy smokes. And your questions at 312-981-7200. Dr. Dana Varbel is with us, Chicago's exotic pet vet and chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community. Plague in a cat? Is this something we need to be worried about?
These headlines, oh my God, they really get you worried, right? Because I think most of us are going, it's like the medieval Black Death disease.
Right, we're thinking, wasn't that gone hundreds and thousands? I mean, come on. But it really has never been gone, has it?
It really hasn't. You know, what plague is a bacterial disease. And, you know, it does pop up typically in the southwestern U.S. from time to time. More common in cats, more common in outdoor cats. Occasionally we see a case in a dog, and occasionally there's a case in a person. And I'll tell you, the biggest concern I have when I hear this is that plague, the bacteria that is caused by plague is carried by fleas, which is why rats got such a bad rap, because as it turns out, you know, rats carry fleas. So the biggest way to prevent this illness and others from spreading is actually good flea control. So, you know, indoor cats obviously got less to worry about, but good flea control will take this off your mind. You will not have to worry about it. But again, it is treatable with antibiotics these days. Thank goodness for those. But yeah, again, good flea control means it's never going to become a problem in the first place.
Bunny sent me a question and an adorable picture of her dog, Harry. A 3-year-old, 20-pound mixed dog developed seasonal grass allergies on his paws. Taking Apoquil doesn't seem to really help. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, that's so disappointing.
I know.
Not respond correctly to the medication. You know, Apoquil is a JAK inhibitor. JAK is a special type of chemical that really induces an allergic response in dogs. So if for some reason Harry is not responding to that medication in the ways we would predict, you could certainly talk to your veterinarian about other options. Cytopoint is similar. It's an injectable medication, but it might work better for Harry. And it might be that we're not dealing with another allergy. Maybe he's allergic to grass and he has a food allergy, for example. I know we've covered this before, but the most common food allergies are chicken and beef. And guess what almost every dog food has in them?
Right.
Chicken and beef. So, you know, it sounds like we maybe need to go to plan B for Harry and investigate whether we need some new meds or some different food, maybe.
George is on line one. George, you have a dog whose front left paw is curved in?
Ooh.
And George, what kind of dog is it?
You know, it is a Vizsla. And through my AKC book and a stubby tail, it's also a winemaker. That's a close as we can figure out. And he's about a 1-year-old, and he's a rescue dog, my wife says. And his paw just kind of tilted in a little bit. We took him to
work. Like his pigeon toe.
Like his pigeon toe. Very good, Jamie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're worried about if it surgically has to be repaired or something like that. Now he goes and runs through the yard, plays ball, jumps in and all over the place. And we also have a second rescue dog, Lola, and they play like they're little teenage kids. So we wonder if that's something that we have to address, or is that just something that's inherent to some dogs?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because the types of dogs that you think he is, Vizslas and Weimaraners, are not dogs that are predisposed to limb curvature or limb problems. Now, for those of you who are thinking, well, what breed is, I dare you, please go out and look at every Pekingese and every Basset Hound in the world. and you'll see that they often are a little curvy.
That's funny. I had a Basset, and you're right. Mine curved out. They curved out.
Yeah, usually that's more common. Yeah.
Interesting. And so is it something they need to be concerned about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Well, we see limb curvatures, just like I mentioned, those Basset Hounds and those Pekingese frequently live with them, and they do just fine. So severe limb curvature sometimes need to have surgical correction. But I'll be honest, a lot of minor limb curvatures are something dogs can live with. Now, if it was a racing greyhound, this is probably not a dog that's going to win a lot of races. Or if this is an agility dog that you expect to perform at a high level, maybe not. But for your average pet that's running around in the backyard, just living a good life, a little limb curvature is probably not going to cause them any problems. The only time I get concerned is if it's super curved, we can see some joint abnormalities, and they may be more predisposed to arthritis as they age. Mm. But, you know, again, talk with your veterinarian, because it sounds like you've got a healthy dog that's really active, and so I think you probably have a lot of options.
Wonderful. All right, Colin is our producer. Colin, what's your question for Dr. Dana Varble?
Oh, yeah.
We have my family has a senior beagle who recently got diagnosed with Cushing's disease, and we're feeding her, or we're giving her the Sammy with the chicken flavor so she eats it. Is there any other way that we can support her?
Oh, that's a great question. So for those of us that don't know, Cushing's disease is an overproduction of corticosteroids. It usually comes from the adrenal gland. So if you've ever had a dog that had to be on prednisone, this is kind of what this disease looks like. It can affect their liver. Some dogs with Cushing's disease can develop pancreatitis as well. Sammy is a supplement. It's an antioxidant. It's used to help kind of counter the effects of the steroids and keep their liver very healthy. You know, with dogs with Cushing's disease usually is not fatal. It usually kind of pushes them to gain a little weight. Some muscle weakness is common in these guys. But keeping them a lean, healthy weight and trying to keep their activity level up as much as they'll tolerate, and a lot of these guys still are pretty active dogs. So, you know, I think you're headed in the right direction. I love that you're trying to disguise it, because Sammy is notoriously difficult to give. Some dogs just seem to not like it. So the fact that you're able to get it in any way, it sounds great. It sounds like you're on the right path.
Good job, Colin. And you know, it's funny, when he was saying that, I had a friend who had Cushing's disease, and her face became so round, I guess associated with prednisone, right? Or the cortisol that you're talking about. That doesn't happen in dogs, does it? We don't see dogs with round faces.
No, but you see them with round bellies.
Yes.
It's the opposite.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a beautiful weekend.
Happy Labor Day, everyone.
That's Dr. Dana Varble. She is with Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet, and she is the Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community.